So there's many people think that, and the reason is because the foundation of Wara, taqwa, is halal. You know, to become muttaqi, the whole point of spirituality or zuhud and, you know, being pious is, I mean, if that's the point, if that's the goal, then you have to immediately deal with your finances. No, you are not late. I haven't even started yet. I was just talking just before we start. So, and I'm just repeating something I said to Brother Ahmed, that if you're going to be a muttaqi, then your money has to be, like your clothes that you wear, that you pray namazis and do your extra nafils in, have to be halal. The food that you just ate has to be halal. So therefore your money has to be halal. So Imam Muhammad ibn Hassan, rahmullah, and it's the first book written on that topic in history, Kitab al-Kasb. So it's quite an interesting work. So in our masjid dars, I'll be putting it on my YouTube channel, inshallah. Today's session was just introduction to the author and introduction to the book. Next week we'll start the first section. And the first section is interesting. It talks about the professions, the earning of livelihood by Prophet alayhi salam. He said there's some ignorant people who think that earning livelihood is against tawakkul and or taqwa. And he goes, he has some harsh words to say for those people. But anyway, let's get started, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmadu wa nasalli ala rasooli kareem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today we'll be about halfway through it will be exactly halfway through the book, inshallah. It's not a very long lesson, maybe about half an hour. There's only three slides. So we did Aam last week, now we're doing Khas. So if you revise Aam, studied Aam, then you'll know Khas is the opposite of Aam. Before that, we did Amr and Nahi. And before that, we did other definitions as well. So I'll just grab the book. So I'll read from here first, from Sheikh Musa Ferber's translation, from Imam Halli's Al-Mahalli's commentary, inshallah, and then we'll read from the slide. It's the same what's on the slide there. I'll read. So just notice the differences. Particular applicability is the opposite of universal applicability. All right. So it is said that which does not include two or more things without constraint. For example, one man, two men, and three men. Right. Particularization, takhsis, is the distinguishing part of the sentence. That is removing those who had a pact from his statement, fight the polytheists. Right. Takhsis is comes from khas, right? The word particularization. Phrases for declaring something particular divided to connected. Dependent clauses, which syntactically cannot stand on its own and are rather subordinate to phrases that contain universal applicability. And disjointed, right? Translator's note, independent clauses which syntactically can stand on their own and are not subordinate to their phrases, containing universal applicability, which they modify. Connected particularization includes exceptions. Its example will come. Examples will come. Conditional, honor Banu Tamim if they come to you. Right, this is a conditional. That is, honor those of them who come. Qualification using attribute. Example, honor the legists of Banu Tamim, scholars of Banu Tamim. Right. So let's have a look at the slide, and we'll read that first, and then we'll go through it. So I'm just reading it again. It's a slightly different translation. It's good to read a different translation. Maybe a different translator maybe give you a different perspective and the language you might be more familiar with. This can be a little bit distracting because the words are not maybe day-to-day words. Specific is the opposite. So he uses the word specific, while Sheikh Musa Ferber uses particular applicability, right? So he says specific is the opposite of general, right? And he says the opposite of universal applicability. while this is specific is the opposite of general. Specification is distinguished by part of the sentence. It is divided into dependent and, I'm going to explain this in a moment, dependent and independent clauses. The dependent clause can be an exception, a restriction to condition, and a restriction to characteristics. An exception is excluding what otherwise is be included in the statement. It is only sound on condition that something remains for which the exception is made and on condition that it is connected to the said statement. So, okay. So let's continue. Let's go to it. So firstly, khas or specific is the opposite of aam, right? Remember the definition of aam from last week includes two or more things without, so it encompasses, it's shamil, it's got shumulia, encompasses all the members of the category, right? Of a jins, right? So you got two or more things, so it's encompassing. So it is a word that indicates to a meaning that is limited, khas, that is, right? So it is a word that indicates, or a sentence or expression that indicates to a meaning that is limited, whether by a specific number, like for example, the example given, give to Muhammad. Now, when you say give to Muhammad, right, what does it mean? It means to a specific person. So you made a khas, right? Like the example that was given last week, give to the students, right? So when he says give to the students, it means any students, right? So it includes a whole category of students. Or for example, give to three students, right? Now the number three is a dastakhsis. It specifies, right? It specifies and restricts what was aam, right? What was aam is now been restricted, right? Imagine there's a student named Muhammad among the students and say give to Muhammad. Now you have singled him out. By single amount, making takhsis of it, specifying you've removed the universal applicability, as the translation says here, or the generalness of it, right? Three students, again, it restricts it, right? It creates a subset. If you study maths, basic mathematics, so you got sets and subsets, so you're sort of like making a subset within the main group. Specific person or number, that's one way. These are two ways of doing khas. There is basically what you're doing is you're limiting the aam to a few members of that aam, right? In the case of students, give to three students, right? When you say that, you're excluding the three. So you got the aam students, and from that, you're restricting it to three. So you're making these three students khas of the aam. So you're limiting an aam. You're limiting an arm to a few members of that category or that arm, right? Is that understood? So what the definition of khas is, that how khas is the opposite to arm? Allah make it clear, inshallah. Okay,
alhamdulillah. Yes.
So my computer is really slow and I don't know why. I haven't got that many programs running, maybe the stream. Because I can hear it's working overtime. I'm not sure if these other programs are running. Anyway. All right. So the next part is about muttasil. Fal-muttasil. And he says that specific is the opposite of general. Specification distinguished by part of the sentence. Right, so something in the sentence will give you a clue that there is an arm and something has been distinguished, separate, tamiz, ba'd al-jumlah, right? And there's two types, dependent, independent. Muttasil literally means attached, right, or detached. And he's translated as dependent, connected or disjointed. Right, the dependent clause can be an exception, a restriction to condition, and a restriction to characteristics. So, how are you going to make this takhsis? Right, how are you going to make this takhsis? If you're going to do the first one, so takhsis by that is joined. So, basically, what you're doing now is explaining how what happens when an arm and a khas come together. You understand? The khas exists because there is an arm. There was an arm, and you've now made a takhsis from that arm. So what is the hukam when they come together, when you join them together? Right? So what we do is we impose the arm upon the khas, and we limit the individual, the afrad of the arm, in what the khas says. So for example, a principal in a school says, akrim al-talaba, honor the students, right? Respect, give honor to the students. Then somewhere else, another next day, he says, do not honor except for the, do not honor the students who failed. So like on Monday, he says, honor the students. He tells, give instruction to the teachers, honor the students. The next day, he gives a separate instruction, not attached, it's detached, right? Two separate occasions. Do not honor the students who have failed. So what does the teacher do? The teacher takes the, one of them is an arm, right? Honor the students, meaning the students, all students. The next day, he's been given something, another instruction, which is what? And the arm has been imposed, right? And on the khas, which is the failures, right? The students have failed. So this khas has two states. It comes together. It can come. So in this situation, this is detached, right? Or you imagine if he was to say it in one sentence, in one time. He said, honor the students, except for the ones who failed. This is in one, this is attached. It's part of, it's in one sentence. Both the arm and the khas are together. So the hukum of the arm and the khas have come together in the same. So this is muttasil or attached. The other one, that first one I gave, is mufassil, is the is separated. And then he continues. He gives three types, right? Istithna, exception, right? In that example that we're given, honor the students except the ones who failed. Honor the students except the one who failed. This except, right? In Arabic, usually it's the word illa or ghair, right? Honor the students, illa, except for the ones who failed. This is one way of putting the arm and the khas together, that you are making, by exception, you're making khas. All right, that's the first type. The second, the second one is the example given in the book, using condition, a conditional sentence, right? If Banu Tamim, if they come to you, then honor Banu Tamim if they come to you, right? So now honoring the Banu Tamim is conditional what? That they come to you, right? The third one is a restriction of characteristic. So Akrim Bani Tamim and Fuqaha. The Fuqaha, the legalists, the Fuqaha, the jurists, honor the jurists of Banu Tamim, right? So honor the Banu Tamim, it's jurists, right? It's like you're making a characteristic, restricting. You're not saying all of Banu Tamim. You're saying the Fuqaha of Banu Tamim. There's an arm there, which is Banu Tamim. And you've restricted to a subcategory, right, of Banu Tamim. Okay? I hope that's clear. So these are three ways. Either you make it istisna by, you make the takhsis by istisna, exception, like illa or except, using the word except or ghair, or by shart, if they come, then honor them. Like a condition, you put a conditional clause, or you do it by a characteristic. The question. Okay, good. Yeah, it's going to get trickier. We just started. This is the easy part. All right. Istisna. Now we're going to go through the explanation of istisna. An exception is excluding what would otherwise be included in the statement. It is only sound. An exception is excluding what would otherwise be included in the statement. It is only sound and condition that something remains, of which the exception is made, and on the condition that is not connected to the statement. Right. So this one is a little bit, so for example, if you say, the group came So I'll read from the book because it gives a much nicer explanation, the commentary. Accepting istithna, this is called exemption, is removing something that otherwise would have been included in the phrase. For example, the group came, except Zayd, right? Right, that's clear. So that's one type of exception. Then exception is valid, all right? And here it says it is only sound on the slide, the second sentence of the last paragraph. It is only sound, it's only correct. And here it says only valid, only with the condition that something remains of that which the exclusion made. For example, I owe him 10 dinars except 9, right? I owe him 10 dinars, right? Except 9. It would be if he were to say excluding 10, it would be invalid. So I owe him 10 except 10, right? Now this is a lahu, right? This is a meaningless sentence, right? But also the Shafi'i say you can exempt majority as well, like 9 out of 10. I owe him 10 dinars except 9, right? Which is 1, right? But the Hanbalis say, this is according to the Shafi'i school, because the commentator and the writer, Imam Juwayni and Imam Jalali Muhammad, they're both Shafi'is. The Hanbalis say no, that this is also lahu, right? They say that to say 10 except 9 goes against the rules of Arabic. I'm asking you the question, what would be do you think, just based on your understanding, what do you think would be for an exemption when it comes to number would be acceptable? Like if you're speaking a sentence to somebody just logically, I'm just curious, like, yeah, very nice. Is that from yourself or you read it?
Can you please repeat your question?
You're real humbly from the heart, Ahmed. All right. Anybody else want to?
Can you please repeat your question?
What do you think would be the humbly based on Arab? So the argument, Dr. Mutlaq in his explanation said that according to the language of the Arabs, and this is what the humblies will argue, there's a point. They say they don't accept this, that it doesn't matter. As long as it's not equal, any number less than 10 in this example would be acceptable. So they gave the example, I owe him 10 dinars except 9. In the Shafi'i, it's acceptable. The Hanbalis, no. What do you think? Anybody else want to guess? Or to try? Someone already answered and they got it right. Right. So, no. So it'll be, according to the Hanbalis, it has to be half. Yeah, I mean, I'm not. You're not going to decide the madhab, right? If you guess, just checking. I'm curious what you think would be a potential answer. So, in the Hanbali madhab, it has to be half or less. So, for us, it wouldn't even this definition for us is not that except a valid only with the condition that something remains from that which is being excluded. Something has to remain still. In their case, it doesn't matter what it is, even if it's one in the 10. So, if you say except 9, that's acceptable for them. For us, saying except 9 is problematic from the start, right? According to the rules of Arabic, it doesn't even sound right. Like, that's a strange statement to make, right? According to the Hanbali madhab, it's an unusual way to speak. And this is almost like, so someone went to the Qadi, if he goes to a Shafi Qadi, and he said, in a transaction, I said 10 except 7, right? 10 except 7, right? A Hanbali Qadi, what would the ruling be according to a Shafi Qadi? The Shafi Qadi would say that, yeah, you have to pay him 3. Like, let's say there's money owed, right? And in the agreement, they said 10 except 3, right? Then there's 3 owing. If he went to a Hanbali Qadi, as for the mother, if he judged according to the Hanbali mother, and the guy says 10 except 7, right? If he says, I owe you 10 except 7 in this deal, right? Then he has to pay 10, right? The 7 is irrelevant to the agreement, right? Okay, good. Yeah, I understand. I understood what you said. Yeah, so it's so if a humbly qadi, if he goes to humbly qadi, the qadi said, no, you owe him 10. The except 7, it doesn't mean doesn't mean anything based on this rule. So do you understand? I'm based on this usul. All right. One of its conditions, it is only sound if the condition is something remains at which except made and on condition that is connected to the statement. One of its conditions is linked to the phrase. So it would not be valid if one were to say the legists, I'm not even sure that word is a legists came. The fuqaha came, like the jurists came, right? The jurists came. And one day later said, except Zayd. Right, one day later said, except Zayd, right? This will not be acceptable. It is permissible to put that which is excluded before, I think that's on the next. Just regarding what is mentioned there, the second condition is a sharp, a conditional phrase. So the example is given that the honor Banu Tamim if they come to you, right? So this is a condition, takhsis, making something khas by a conditional sentence. There are others than this as well. There's two other ones, ghaya, and there's another one as well. But only three are mentioned here for this book. Honor Banu Tamim if they come to you. If they come to you is not an istisna, it's not exemption, it's a condition, right? Honor with if they come to you, only on this condition, right? Like honor those of them who come. So a third one is just looking at the conditions. I think this is on the wrong slide. Just give me 1 second. So what I'll do is this is my notes. Give me 1 second. Just grab these notes and check them in the right place. Okay. So it is possible, we'll read this inshallah. I'll just continue with the. Yeah, so the second condition is. That it has to be what's mentioned here for the second condition mentioned for istisna is that it has to be attached, and it has to be attached. So I said accepting in this. I'm looking at this now. So if you look at page, what number is it? 25, 27, right? Istisna is removing something that otherwise would have been included by the phrase. Accepting a valid only when with the condition something remains that which exclusion is made. We did that. One of its conditions is that it be linked to the phrase. It can't be the next day. It is permissible to put that which is excluded before from which it is excluded. The order can be different, right? Except Zayd, no one stood. It is permissible to exclude from the same category jins, as we mentioned above, and from other things. Example, the people came excluding the donkeys. Conditionals, let's get back to this. It is possible for an exception to be stated before that which is made. So the second condition has to be attached. There's an intention, there's some things that are not mentioned here, there are conditions, that for istisna. Now we're talking about in takhsis, we're talking about istisna. He's going into detail istisna. So page 27 of the book, there's details of istisna, exemption, right? Extra conditions. I went to conditions and I went to thing, but we need to cover finish in exemption first. There's conditions here that for the exemption to be valid, right? You have to, something has to be left from it, right? And also that something has to remain from it, that it's said on the same day. You can put the exemption before in terms of the order, doesn't matter. It is permissible to exclude from the same category and from other things, which we'll go through in a moment, right? So these are the conditions. So I'll read it from here. It is possible for an exemption to be stated before that which is made, and it's possible for a category to be exempted, accepted from a different category. Conditions, so we won't go through conditions. Firstly, so there are some additional conditions, which is the niyyah. For exemption has to be made before the exemption, that which is exempted from, the thing they exempted from. So for example, all the students except Zayd, right? So give honor all the students. So the intention has to be there when that order is given and that exemption is made, right? There's another condition, which is that the istisna, it cannot be correct until it is verbalized, right? It is actually said, there's nut of it. There's another condition, which is that it has to be from the same person. These are extra conditions for istisna. You cannot say one person said, honor all the students, and someone else says, except Zayd, right? It has to come from the same person for the istisna to be valid, right? Because then there's a doubt about whether this istisna actually is istisna, it's an exemption or not, right? Now, there's some masail here. Some questions. It's page 27 of this book. This is what I'm referring to. Correct. If it is, it's the exemption will not be valid. If it's not valid, then it's am. There is no exemption, right? If it's invalid, there's no exemption then. Correct. If it's invalid, that means there's no exemption. Then we are dealing with the am, right? There's another masala that differs from the Shafi'i. So one masala different from the Shafi'i is that when it comes to the number, the exempt, that which is exempted from the arm has to be this 50 or a half or less, right? Has to be small, cannot be more, which according to us is considered lagh. It's not, it's meaningless sentence. The second rule in which the Hanbalis differ, that if you're exempting from other than the actual group, the category, this is not a valid a valid exemption. In the Shafi'is, it is. So if you say the people came excluding the donkeys, right? The people came, the people is one jins, the donkeys is another category, right? They're not, the donkeys are not from the category of human beings, right? So how can you, it is permissible to exclude, as the book says, because it's a Shafi'i book, right? Written by a Shafi'i Imam, commentated by Shafi'i Imam, rahmahullah, that they think. But the Hanbali said no. For the exemption to be valid, right, then it has to be from the same genus, from the same category. Is that understood? Like, we're talking about exemptions here. We are talking about khas, takhsis. In takhsis, yes. The first type of takhsis, exemption. In exemption, there are certain, for it to be valid, has to be certain conditions, right? One of those conditions that the Hanbalis differ on, we discussed earlier, is in number. Like, for us, that which is exempted, that which exempts is half or less. The other point of contention between the Hanbali Shafi'is, the Hanbali say that the categories of both, the thing that is exempted, exempting from the exempted, from the arm, has also has to be from the same type, same jins, same genus. It cannot be something else. So for us, it would not be the people came excluding donkeys. This is not a valid, it's not, because donkeys are not from the category of people, right? That's a good question. how do we how do we interpret this? The angels prostrated to Adam alayhi salam except Iblis, right? Except Iblis, since I heard that Iblis is an angel. Yeah, so yet he was exempt. That's a big tafsir discussion. And was he from the category of malaika at that time? Was he was the address made to him separately? There's a whole discussion about that. So obviously, you know, your shaitan cannot use usul al-fiqh 101 waraqat to get out of making sajda. Obviously, he was in trouble. So the hukum was directed towards him as well. And our understanding was that there's no takhsis of Iblis from the hukum anyway. That's a very, very, a very good thing in terms of, I think that we're talking about ahkam. When you're talking about usul al-fiqh, we're talking about ahkam, rulings. Although it's an overlap with the normal language used elsewhere. So I think as a category, they were ordered together, but he was the one that did not make sense. But there's no hukam here per se. Like, there's no hukam. The hukam was given to both of them, the malaika and the iblis. That's why he's in trouble, because he refused to make the, like, we are told to pray and the angels are told to pray. That doesn't exclude him from the hukam. He excluded himself. Right, he made takhsis. Shaitan made takhsis for himself. And he gave his illah under a reasoning as well. I'm created from fire, he's created from clay. But a good point, like in terms of just discussion, it's an interesting point. So there has to be of the same jinns. So there is like six conditions you can say. So for istisna, for conditions, there are six. The words have to be attached. If it's a number, then it has to be half or less. The mutakallim, the speaker, has to be one. There has to be niyyah. It has to be spoken. It has to be from the same jins, right? Of the mustastamino, the thing that is exempted from. So these are six conditions that has to be there in the istisna. And so the two masail that is differs from the Shafi'i here is that the half, they don't have the half rule. They said as long as it's not equal to it, which is which according to everybody is a lahu, and it's not, and it can be from a different jins as well. The second type of is this takhsis is via shart, right? Honor the students except for honor the students when they pass, right? So this when they pass is a condition now. This is not exemption. This is a condition, shart, right? So this is a conditional clause that's been added to it, right? When they pass, right? Or you can put it the other way around. The order doesn't matter, right? You can put it, so they gave the example, I think here, I think mentioned previously. Except Zayd, no one stood. Or for example, when if they pass, honor the students, right? So you can put the condition before, the order doesn't matter, right? That which is restricted to a characteristic is given the same interpretation as if it were unqualified, such as a slave characterized by faith in some places, unqualified in other places. The unqualified is interpreted as though it were qualified by the characteristic. Okay, so this is something that actually sort of deserved. Imam Juwaini Rahmullah has put this under the chapter of Khas, but in many other books, and generally this is actually a chapter in itself and treated separately as opposed to under Khas. Mutlaq and Muqayyad, right? He, Sheikh Mutlaq, I'll read Musa Ferbus. When something is qualified by an attribute, the unqualified is interpreted as being similarly qualified, such as a slave qualified by belief in some places. example, concerning expiation for murder, and unqualifying others, for example, concerning the expiation for likening one's wife to his mother, al-zihar. Thus, the unqualified is interpreted as agreeing with the qualified as a precautionary measure. Now, what this is referring to, there's a different word that is used, and sometimes these words like am and khas can sort of be confused with muqayyid and mutlaq. And it's good that maybe we deal with it here so we understand it. Mutlaq and muqayyid can be called restricted. Muqayyid, you know, in Urdu, if you qayd, you know, like qayd, like something is restricted, qayd lagana, like put a qayd on something. In Arabic, it's an Arabic word. So muqayyid is a thing that is a qayd on it, there's a restriction on it. So restricted and unrestricted. Mutlaq is unrestricted. Mutlaq is unrestricted, and muqayyid is restricted, right? So for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to, and I'll explain the difference in a moment, what the difference between this and a'am is. Mutlaq, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Bani Israel, Musa alayhi salam tells the Bani Israel, as word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that slaughter Baqarah. Right? From the general category of Baqarah, any Baqarah you pick out of that, there's no restriction on which member of Baqarah that you'll pick, right? Which cow you slaughter is irrelevant, right? That's what, like mutlaq, you'd be given free reign to pick from any member of the aam, the general category of Baqarah, pick any old cow, any old Baqarah will do, pick that. But Israel, what were they doing? They were kept on doing taqsis, you know, they kept on trying to make it khas, right? Without specification of a specific number. And you can see, you know, in Urdu, for those who speak Urdu or any of the other Islamic Muslim languages, that these words khas, these are there in the normal lexicon of the language. So it makes it easy for people that are from maybe like Muslim background languages that are influenced by Arabic, it makes it much easier to understand these concepts. Because the words khas and aam, for example, exist in Urdu and Farsi, etc. Mutlaq, any cow from the category from the aam or baqar will do, without specifying which baqarah from the aam, right? And so the definition, sorry, this went too far. I'm on the wrong slide, no, right slide. Too far ahead. So aam is inclusive of all the members, right? While mutlaq, for example, honor the students means every student, right? If you say honor a student, this is mutlaq. If you say honor the students means honor all the students. If you say honor a student, this is what mutlaq is. Do you understand the difference? So what is meant is one student or one baqarah in the ayat of Quran, but not a specific student. So any member, this is different to khas, right? Khas is a specific student, right? Or specific students or a subgroup, subset of that, right? Like, for example, they're distinguished by a condition or they're distinguished by a characteristic or they're distinguished by something else, right? So, right, the commonality, the generality that we're talking about in aam is shumuli. The word in Arabic shamil, you know, like in Urdu it's shamil. So, like, it's inclusive of all the members. Aam, the commonality, the generality of aam is to do with every member of that category, like every person of that category of that genus. Like, example given was student. Honor the student means all the students, right? While the commonality of mutlaq, the word mutlaq, or this categorization is another categorization, right, of words, means a member. This is called umum badali. This is a generality, right, of a specific, badali, meaning take a member of this category, right? Any member without restriction. That you can take one member, like, for example, honor a student. Honor a student could mean it's mutlaq, right? It's unrestricted from this category of students, which is aam, right? There's a category aam of students. All honor the students, all the students. But when you say honor a student, this student or this student or this student or this student, As long as you do one, because it's mutlaq, right? It's not restricted. So then you can pick this student, and the student is not specified. So as long as you honor a student, you fulfill this hukum. So if someone gives you an order, a teacher says, you know, give this gift to a student. The principal says to the teacher, give this gift to a student. It doesn't tell you which student, right? So then you have the whole arm. If you were to give it to student A, this hukum will be fulfilled. This order will be fulfilled. If you gave it to student B from that general body of student, the hukum will still be the same hukum before if he's on a second, because he's a student, he's a student, he's a student, he's a student, and on and on and on. All right. So this is what thing. And muqayyad is something that takes the mutlaq either by characteristic, by a sifa, or a sharp, it takes it out of mutlaq. Right? It takes it out of the mutlaq. So let's have a look at some examples of that. No, that's just an example, right? It's not one student, but it's not, yeah, exactly. So you can say, like it's a sub category. In the example that I gave was one student. We'll go through examples, you'll understand the three cases, inshallah. Correct, yeah, it could be three students, right? It could, not necessarily one student, it could be three students, but it could be, it's any three students from that whole category of students. Like if the principal says honor three students, right? So now you got three students that you honor, but it doesn't specify which students. You can choose any all three students. So this is now, so in terms of selecting them as students, it'll be mutlaq, right? In terms of from the category. All right. So like the hukum of, remember that aam will be imposed on khas. Similarly, mutlaq is imposed on muqayyid. So let's have a look at the cases. So there are two things in a hukum. One is the reason for the hukum. So when can you do this when it comes to ayat al-Quran? When muqayyid and mutlaq, they come together, they clash, you could say, or they come together in the hukum, then when do they come together, right? Let's have a read from the book. This is the last slide. For today, that which is restricted to a characteristic is given the same interpretation if it were unqualified, such as a slave character. I'm sorry, this already, and then just getting to the notes again. My notes here. So there are like four conditions. There's a suburb, and then there's a hukum. There's a reason for the hukum, and then there's a judgment or a ruling at the end. So, for example, the hukum of two, you're getting one that is mutlaq and one is muqayyid. You're getting two from the Quran, right? As an example, you're getting two different hukums. One is mutlaq, unrestricted, and one is, for example, wa ummahatukum allati arda'anakum, right? So this is the ayat in Surah Nisa 23 regarding who is your mahram, right? And the mothers who gave you milk, right? The mothers that gave you milk. But it doesn't mention here, it's mutlaq, because it doesn't mention in rada'a, in breastfeeding, in giving milk, it doesn't mention how many, right? So do you understand? And in a hadith, it mentions... it mentions 10. If I remember correctly, I'll just check the hadith because I can't remember Aisha radiallahu anha's hadith. Just give me a moment. Just give me a quick look. Just trying to find the, I'm sure it was 10. Like, how many times has the wet nurse or the, you know, that lady would have to, okay, here. Ashara da'at, yeah, that's right. Right? Ashara da'at. So 10 times she gives milk to the baby, then she's established so is the hukum in the hadith the same? Right? Is it talking about the same? Yes, it's talking about tahrim. Is the sabab the same? Yes, rada'a. You understand? So the hukum is the same, which is the tahrim of this lady is now mahram. He's mahram, the person, let's say it's a boy, he's mahram to this lady now. You understand? They're, and a relationship is established between them through breastfeeding, right? So the hadith is talking about the same thing. Aisha's narration is talking about the same thing as the ayat of Quran, which is breastfeeding. The suburb is the same, right? The hukam, both are establishing. This is ijma', there's consensus on this. If the suburb is the same, right? In a mutlaq and muqayyid, that's what we're talking about here. The qualified, unqualified, the restricted, unrestricted. If they're both talking about the suburb is the same, breastfeeding in this case, right? And the hukam is the same, tahrim, right? Of in terms of relationship, establishing relationship. Then this by ijma', they can be put together. Hukum can be is applicable, is transferable, right? It's fine. We're talking about the same thing here. If the hukum and sabab both differ, right? For example, the thief says his hand should be cut. Now the word yad is used in the Quran, right? But the word yad, right, in Arabic. Has different meaning. Yad could, it means this, and yad could mean this, because we know the word yad for cutting the hands is understood to be here, and the yad for wudu, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى صَفَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ, right? Wash your arms till you wash your hands. Yad is also called yad up to here. Wash your yad till your elbow, right? So the hukam and the suburb are both different. Right? The hukam is different. One is talking about had, cutting the punishment, the hand of a thief. And the other one's talking about wudu. Right? So the suburb, one is talking about tahara, and one is talking about had, punishment. Right? So they are different, therefore they cannot be, you cannot transfer the hukam from one across the other. If the hukam is the same, but the suburb is different. So, for example, like according to the Hanbalis and the Jamhur, majority of the scholars, if the hukam is the same, but the suburb is different, right? So in the book, it gives this example. Like the slave, like when something is qualified by an attribute, the unqualified is interpreted as being similarly qualified, such as a slave qualified. So you should tahrir raqaba. Freeing a slave. Some ayat of Quran mention that tahrir raqab mu'min, that to free a believing slave, right? So if you're, for example, in expiation of murder, like the kafara of the kafara for that is, one of the kafara is to free a believing slave, and unqualified in others. For example, it's a mutlaq in other places. Concerning expiation for likening one's wife to someone does zihar, right? In Surah Qad Sami'a, the third last juz, the beginning of that first page of that whole incident is mentioned there. And one of the ways to deal with that type of divorce was to divorce from jahiliyyah, where a person says to his wife, her back is like his mother. One of the ways to get out of that, the penalty for that or the kafara for that, the expiation of that is to, so there it's unrestricted. It doesn't mention if it's a believing slave. It's mutlaq. It doesn't, there's no muqayyid, right? There's no restriction of being a mu'min, right? Thus, the unqualified is interpreted as agreeing with the qualified as a precautionary measure, like ihtiyatan, right? So, according to the Hanbalis and the majority of scholars, including Shafi'is as well, that since the hukam is the same, even though the sabab is different, right? Then he mentions ihtiyatan, that one would the hukam would this mutlaq muqayyid can be because we're talking about kafara here. Even though one is dealing with a different situation, the other one's different situation, it's fine. If the sabab is the same but hukam is different, so for example, tayammum, it says by hands, and it's used the word yad, and wudu is until elbows, right? Both are for rafa hadith, right? The reason is the same, but the hukam is different. One is a hukam of what? Washing. The other one has a hukam of masah. So one is ghasl while the other one is masah. Then you cannot put, you cannot impose, you cannot put the, this muqayyid and mutlaq cannot be joined together, right? So it can apply in two cases, but not it doesn't apply in two cases. I hope that's clear, inshallah, about muqayyid and mutlaq. It's a little side, we've just taken a detour a little bit from the main topic, which is khas. But this is also helpful as well, because it helps you by putting it here, then you can distinguish at least with mutlaq and muqayyid. This is a side discussion. It should have its own chapter. Generally in other books, it has had its own chapter. But it's good in a way, Allah reward Imam Juwayni, rahmullah, for putting it here, because then it's sort of, you have to deal with it. And then you don't go too far ahead, away from khas. You can distinguish between am and khas and muqayyid and mutlaq and muqayyid, inshallah. Any questions about that, mutlaq and muqayyid, on the little detour that we took?
So the first point, like where they give this ayah of Surah Baqarah, can you please, the number one on page 28?
No? Okay. All right, next, last slide. This is the last slide. It is impossible for the book, the Qur'an. So now we're back to khas, right? It is possible for the book, the Qur'an, to be specified by the book, for the book to be specified by the sunnah, and for the sunnah to be specified by the book, for the sunnah to be specified by the sunnah, and for statements to be specified by analogy, right? What we mean by statements are the sayings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're going to go through that. And Imam Al-Mahalli has given a nice commentary of this. It is possible, and I'll read this here as well, it is possible to be rendered particular by the Quran. Example, do not marry idolatrous women, which is restricted, and by the virtuous women, those who receive the book before you, are lawful for you, right? The one verse of Quran can make takhsis of another verse of the Quran. Do not marry mushrikat, right? And then here, when is but it's written, and marry the virtuous woman, right? The not any Christians or people of the book, but the virtues, the good of those who receive the book before you, are lawful for you. The Quran, and sometimes, you know, like I was thinking this the last 2 weeks, if you think about it, Sahaba radiallahu anhu married, and Allah allowed it, to marry the Ahli Kitab in that time, right? I'm not sure how long Muslims practice this, but these are people that are still carrying the, they're not the Christians of today. Some of you might live in Christian majority, quote unquote, Christian majority countries, Western countries. The reality is the majority is not really Christian or practicing Christian, right? So the ayat of Quran is clear. You can marry the virtuous, but the virtuous, I wonder about this, that is it Sahaba radiallahu anhu was such a force of Iman that even when they went to places like Sham and Egypt and then married a Christian, which happens part of history, and they are married in a house where the lady is Christian, technically not Muslim, right? And maybe hold beliefs that are contrary to Islam. But is it allowed that they were such a, that it was an inevitable fact that they're going to become Muslim eventually? Just imagine, like the best people of this ummah, the greatest awliya, ulama, are the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They're the best people after the Anbiya alayhi salam. Them being in the house, right? So this is not like, so the ayat of Quran gives indication to what type of person, even if a non-Muslim, but it's not any old non-Muslim, right? So there's some qaid that is being put there, right? The Quran maybe to be rendered, Yeah, so the general meaning, like the arm is, do not marry any mushrika, and then exemption is there. Like this is the exemption afterwards, like the exemption is coming, which makes the khsis, right? Wallahu alam. The Quran to be rendered particular by the sunnah. Can ayat al-Quran restrict, I'm just looking at other examples. So there's the other ayat of Quran. وَالْمُتَلَقَّاتِ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَ قُرُوءٍ. Divorced women shall keep themselves waiting for three periods, like three menstrual cycles, right? And then there's another ayat of Quran. As for those having pregnancy, وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَنْ يَدَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. As for those having pregnancy, their term of iddah is that they give birth to their child, right? So this is ayat of Quran. And he said that this ayat, it says that mushrikat, Al-Mushrikat, because Alif Lam is there, you know, it means all Mushrikat. And the second ayat makes takhsis. With Sunnah, there's ikhtilaf, right? There's a lot of ikhtilaf in this one. But the Jamhur and the author of this book is Shafi'i, Imam Juwaini, Imam Ali Shafi'i. Majority of the scholars view that you can do takhsis of ayat Quran with a hadith. There are objections raised by some Imams, right? This is not that there is no objection to this. That can something, and their thing is that the lower thing, like obviously the Book of Allah, the Kalam of Allah, is higher than the Sunnah. Can a lower thing, which is the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, can that do takhsis of the higher, the Book of Allah, the Kalam of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, right? However, ulama have argued this, and the Sahih and the correct view is that no, the Sunnah was sent to clarify the Quran. The whole purpose of the Sunnah. One of the main, the primary, the Sunnah is a primary source in itself, number one, right? It's a source of Islam and Sharia in itself. And also, it is a clarification of the Quran. So if the point of the Sunnah is there to elaborate, explain, expound on the Quran, then why would you put the restriction that the Sunnah can't do takhsis on the ayat of Quran, right? Cannot restrict a meaning of the Quran from the Sunnah. So in the Quran, it mentions about all the different. Correct, yeah. The Malikis have, I believe the Malikis have that. Cat, yeah. Keep your cats safe. keep your cats away from the Malikis, I guess. I don't know. It's a strange example to give, but yeah, all right. Yeah, so if I was just reading the comment, if I remember correctly, the Maliki said the Quran cannot be exempted by the Sunnah, or so cannot be rendered, I think he mentioned here, or specified by the Sunnah, restricted by the Sunnah, or made khas by the Sunnah, which is why they do not consider eating cats haram but makruh, since the Quran already specified the forbidden foods, right? Because if you Quran says this is haram, this is haram, and then you from Sunnah you say that is also, you're using the Sunnah now to add it or expand the meaning of what is haram, right? And restricting what is, so it's they are more open on the, and it's not just cats, it's many other things as well. I think dogs as well. And they don't consider, as far as I understand, they don't consider haram but makruh. Pretty much a lot of things are makruh, simple makruh. But I heard, I had a Maliki teacher in madrasa. He said that it doesn't mean that they eat everything, you know. There's still Muslims, and there's a natural thing of not eating that which is not suitable to eat, right? Also, so for example, in marriage, so that you're allowed to marry, so it gives general, like anything other than what's exempt, mentioned in the Quran. But we know from the Sunnah, Rasulullah forbid, right? An auntie and a niece being in nikah of one person, right? And the fuqaha have explained why, like an auntie and a niece, her niece, right? Her is an auntie and her niece are married, cannot be married, haram. But two sisters cannot be in the same nikah to one man, right? And the reason given by Fuqaha is that between the ayn, it could break down the family relation between them, right? Between this, this is reading the book many years ago, that if I remember correctly. But anyway, it is forbidden. That relationship is forbidden for one man to be married to the auntie and the niece, right? Even though it's not mentioned in the ayah, right? So, and he mentioned here sunnah, particular by the Quran, right? And this is number three in the book, the sunnah to be rendered particular by the Quran, right? So the Quran does takhsis of a hadith. This is the most ikhtilaf is in this, right? So for example, the God does not accept the prayers from any of you when they lose ritual purity until they make ablution, being excluded by, and if you will be ill and you find not water, then take clean earth. Even if the sunnah also, mentioned direct ablution after the verse was revealed. Another example was given was, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the maitha, the carrion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that that which is separated from the maitha, right? Just trying to remember the hadith, Aban, right? That which is separated from the maitha. Maitha is an animal, like in Australia here, if you're driving down the road, the highway here, today, like we saw, like maybe 4 or 5 kangaroos. That's called maitha. It's hit by a car. It died inside a red. It's an animal that's died, right? So the maitha is forbidden. Where's the clarification? What's permitted from that? Where's the exemption from that, right? That everything that separates from the animal is not clean. But then in the Quran itself, in the this takhsis, وَمِنْ أَصْوَاتِهَا وَبَارِهَا وَشْعَارِهَا, right, and so forth. So, and out of their wool and their fur and their hair, and like, right, these are things that, so the hadith is actually, takhsis is made of a hadith by the ayat of Quran, right? Yeah, so that's a good point. Regarding what previously mentioned about the Malikis, their understanding of makruh is not so, they don't take makruh things very lightly. Yeah, I remember my teacher telling me that as well. But anyway, number five, this is the last one for today. We'll finish here, inshallah. Qiyas, analogy, right? Analogy is used. For example, الزانيت والزاني فجد كل واحد منهما مئة جلدة. So a adulterer and adulteress, or someone that is done zina, a male, the female and the male, they should be whipped 100 jalla, right? 100 strikes of the whip. And the female slave, right? If she's given 50, half of that, the slave woman that is a virgin, and she does zina, then she's given 50. Right, half, which is in the Quran. فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِصْفَ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. Right, so she's given. So once they have been bound in marriage, then if they commit a shameful act, they shall be liable half the punishment prescribed for the free woman. Right, but the male slave is also 50. But there's no mention in the Quran. Right, there's no mention in the Quran. Right, of the male slave, and he also. This is taken by an analogy, right? It's extended to the male slave as well, right? So the ayat of Surah Nisa makes takhsis of the ayat of Surah An-Nur, right? But for the male slave, because not mentioned there, it's done via qiyas, it's done by analogy, right? Qiyas, of course, is that two things are there and you find the underlying illa in both of them, then you extend the ruling of one to the other. There's conditions and a whole procedure around it because you're extending the ruling. For example, there's an alcohol that never existed, Tawbah Rasulullah Sallam. We never knew the name of it, but the underlying reason is intoxication. Wine is intoxication. Wine is haram. The hukum of hurma extends to, the, like, let's say, vodka or some other new wine. or we're in one country, KwaZulu, there's all these different alcohols people come up with, sadly. And so new alcohol is made. And so now the hukum of this extends. Why? Because the illa, the underlying reason for both, is intoxication. So the hukum, as the illa is the same underlying, the hukum also extends. So that's what, in brief, that's what qiyas is. And so therefore, the qiyas here, qiyas is made on the old slave and extended to the male slave, although not mentioned in the Quran. Just one last note. Dr. Mutlaq, at the end of his lesson, he mentioned that some people do takhsis by using, quote unquote, the maqas of the Sharia. And this is a slippery slope, and this is extremely dangerous, and only senior ulama of the highest caliber who are very grounded in the madahib of the Ahl Sunnah, these madahib, they should look at these things. It's not open to everybody and so forth. People who say that use the maqasid, the goals of the Sharia, right? The purpose of the Sharia and maslaha, look at the common good. And then based on that, we're going to tell people that look at everything in Sharia and then restrict, right? Or open up ahkam, right? And incorporate basically the modern situations. The problem with this is that those who are not, the level of rasikhun of ilm don't exist today. We have great ulama, pious ulama as well. But even those ulama that are pious, ulama rabbaniyun today, right? They are so cautious moving, like any shape or form moving away from the well-trodden path of the fuqaha of the last 400 years, that these new sort of, some would even call it a fitna in our time as well, that in the last 100 years, he at the end he said this, people are making their own takhsis up. Right, they've added this new takhsis up that we do it on maqasid, and then we'll restrict or open up a ruling that is there, add a new spin to it. Right, and it occurs in this chapter of khas and am, of khas takhsis that is used. Right, and they have their arguments, but there's no due process like the average person doing it, and they are doing takhsis of a hukum of Allah. No. That hukum applied for that situation. It doesn't apply today, right? That was for 14. That was for those conditions, right? That was for Arabia, for that. So they're restricting the hukum to a time, place, a conditions. But basically what they do is they remove that hukum from society today, that it's not applicable today because it's changed like that, right? So it will not be applicable. So this is takhsis is used. This is one of the tools of the usuli. Usuliyin is used to actually damage. And if this is opened up, unrestricted, this is mutlaq, right? It's made like every little scholar, every student in Islamic university or a madrasa starts doing this. The Sharia, we can pack and go home, and the Sharia will be out the window. Especially with the lack of taqwa, lack of knowledge and depth of knowledge, many big scholars have slipped up in this matter in the recent era. I won't mention any names, you probably know them. But they've slipped up on this matter because they are trying to use maqasid al-sharia. And this is heavily criticized by the traditionalists, that maqasid al-sharia, the goal of the sharia, as a defining tool. And basically what the net result is, they've taken the sword to the whole sharia, right? Like what classic example is, like Rasul forbid a male to put hand in the hand of a mahram, a non-mahram lady, right? And this hadith, clear-cut hadith on this. Someone comes today and says that this is going to make the lady feel bad, and Islam is not against making feel bad, therefore it's okay. Directly against Nas. Or, for example, there was another one about divorces. Someone divorced their wife so many times, like again and again and again. And someone will say Islam is a religion of love and peace and family, and because that's the goal of Sharia, right? It wants the best for humanity and human beings. That's right, right? Like we have to change the Sharia to suit that specific family's circumstance and situation, right? That's not how it works, right? Someone came to my father, rahmullah, and he wanted to say he did something wrong. And in Islam, it's allowed, but in Australian law, it's illegal, right? I won't mention the specifics. And he came to my father, he said, can you write a letter basically to the authorities, to the judge, that Islam is allowed, I misunderstood. But the thing is wrong, the way he did the thing is wrong as well, right? And my father said to him that, where was Islam when you were doing this thing wrongfully in the first place? Now you want Islam to come and save you in the court? Like you went about, you know, someone came, brought a girl in front of my father and he said, I'm a very pious Muslim. And, you know, he brought a girl like somebody else's daughter and said, oh, can you do my nikah? My father said, Rahmullah, he said, my father's an alim, Rahmullah, in the Imam al-Masjid. He said, how pious can you be? He upset him. He goes, how pious could you be that you bring somebody else's daughter by yourself to the masjid? But anyway, Rahmullah ta'ala. All right, inshallah, any questions? We'll wrap up, inshallah. Yes.
So, when you were talking about alcohol, these days, like in everywhere, like if you look, vape is so common. So it's basically haram. So is it true that it's haram? People are taking it so light.
Yeah, I mean, you gave a case of wudu and using qiyas for inferring by qiyas. Mashallah, barakallah, jazakallah khair for that thing. And you can see his honesty. And he feels that the other view is stronger. And he puts a caveat. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmullah, did the same thing as well. If you notice in the way he discusses, like he will always uphold the primacy of the school. Like he will not dismantle the school. There are other people dismantle the school. And that is a treachery on students, unfortunately, tulab al-ilm, seekers of knowledge. But the big ones, even if they hold a different view, they would maintain the primacy of the madhab and keep the madhab intact. Because once you start tearing it down and mixing it all up, then we know what happens. And we're top of scholars or people or next generation of scholars, they're all over the place and they're going all direction. There's no structure. You lose cohesion. You know, you lose structure, right? So if everybody just did the things that they wanted to do. But these ulama, that senior ulama, even if they followed a view and they looked at a thing deeply and this is what I mentioned at the start. For the average person, their imam is their local, their imam is their madhab is their imam of the masjid. For the talib al-ilm, you should stay within the mazhab madrasa. He's studying a systematic structure. He's going to take on the structure of the whole of Sharia, study it in deeply and analyze everything and step by step in a structured way. And spend decades of his life, then you should go in a systematic way, as has been done, the well-trodden path. And then the third level is when he reaches the pinnacles of knowledge and he, by research and tahqiq, right? This is a very, tayammum and wudu is a very small masala in what you've mentioned, right? We're talking about people talking about things that are haram and halal, like major things, and not just taking a view from another madhab, totally doing away with all the madahib that we know. Right, like extreme positions have been taken in the name of maslaha, what is good for common good, what is the maqasid, the goals of Sharia, but basically it's dismantling our structures. And alhamdulillah, we have enough ulama, the traditionalists, and like there to defend that position. But some of those things make it into the general public, it's a disservice to them as well. Wallahu ta'ala alam, may Allah subhanahu give us understanding and tawfiq and preserve us. بارك الله فيكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته